Welcome to the Modcast, an official Polycast production brought to you by Apollotan Civilization Site. Bouta Snijders,
Ken Ferland, Tony Keel,
Oscar Belsen,
with guest co-host
No One.
Hello and welcome to the second pilot for Modcast, a Polycast production. Joining us today is Kenneth Impaler WRG Ferland.
Greetings.
And Oscar Elohim Belzy.
Hello.
And Wouter Locutus Snijders.
That's me, and you said my name right.
I did finally, yes.
But it never happened again.
And me, Tony Garrett Sitzaka Kiel. So we have a whole bunch of things to talk about today. Lots of fun to be had while we're talking about it.
Yes, news comes first.
Yes.
Here's what's been making the news in the Sith community.
And now in the forum news, we're going to talk a little bit about global warming in Civ 4. I was posting at a forum talking about things we could do with the global warming system, and one of the things I was thinking we could do is maybe elaborate on the terrain change mechanic and perhaps bring back the call to power-esque sea level raising and lowering. But I don't know. A lot of people think that global warming is the lamest thing in the game. And another thing that I don't like is the global warming comes when you drop nukes. And that should be a freezing.
Yes, everyone knows nukes cause nuclear winter.
Hey, don't give our government any ideas, okay?
So you just have to balance the amount of pollution you cause with the amount of nukes. You know, it's like, oh, I've polluted too much nukes somewhere.
Well, the idea this guy has is it's interesting for a post-apocalyptic scenario where the civilization is on ruins and you have to rebuild it and do the earth a nice place to live again.
Yes, and you combine your powers to create knowledge.
I won't.
Okay, so like in this scenario, it's like you don't really fight other people. It's like you fight the environment catastrophe and try to get yourself back to being, you know, not dying.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, because it would be totally different kind of gameplay from Civ, where it's competition with other Civs. And, you know, your competition with them, and you're trying to build and build and build. And this is like, you start off with, like, your stuff, but it's, like, collapsing. And it's, like, the object is, like, to avoid a complete collapse down to nothing and to kind of transition into a new state. And you're not fighting against anyone. It's just to get that done. It's kind of a little more SimCity-ish in that sense. You know, it's, like, the objective isn't a competition with anyone else,
but the environment you compete with the context with the world situation.
I certainly see the idea of making this a scenario where it's completely focused on that effect is probably a little more fun than having this as a regular game feature where it's kind of just an annoyance. Yeah. Because it would suck in the regular game for your civilization to like collapse from global warming or you to like lose the game because of global warming or something like that.
You have to save the Earth in this scenario.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Besides, it's a scenario idea.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if this guy's actually going to be making a mod.
I guess not. No. No. Besides, it was posted on October the 23rd, so nobody said anything. But it's a good idea. I really like it.
Why don't each of us like post something just you know, to say that we like this idea, you know, because it's got no responses right now.
What, 2 months after the fact? Well, yeah. I'm going to write something.
We say, oh, we featured you guys in a pilot that will never actually be heard, so
yeah, exactly.
All right, do a little thread necromancy.
Thread romancy.
It's like a raised thread instead of raised dead. Well, let's see. We also have talking about some alternatives for the traits in Civ 4, which I would like to very much focus on myself, industrious and creative. I don't know if this guy, yeah, he brought up some points, but he put some alternate effects for all the different traits in the game, and I think industrious and creative need to be switched around a little bit.
Yeah, and he's got a download. You can actually download the files. Since these are all XML-based changes that are done with the traits. Overall, they think they look pretty thought out. Aggressive gives you fast nukes and the free promotions. We have melees, gunpowders, helicopters, pretty much all you units. Charismatic.
Yeah, it's, he explains what he's trying to achieve with these changes. They seem pretty logical, but I don't know if they're balanced.
Yeah, I think that's the big problem here. It took about 3 years to get all the trade balance for regular C4, and he's just listing a couple of huge changes. And I can already see some of these are clearly not balanced, and to really balance everything out, that's, oh man, that's going to take hundreds of man play hours, probably. For one thing, organized trade, I don't think it's been changed at all. Same effect. But if you then look at, which one was it? There's one trade.
No, he gave it half-speed intelligence agencies. Well,
so effectively no change. Yeah, and then you look at creative. It has the same effect that it always already had, and you get half production speed for wonders. So it's basically industrious and creative rolled up into one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But look what he did for industrious. He said plus one hammer on tiles that already have hammers, kind of like the financial for hammers.
Yeah.
But it's on three hammers, that's still too low. I'd make it at least four hammers.
No, I think.
Plus one on four hammers. You can get four hammers very easily on a tile. Three hammers is just ludicrous. I mean, you'll be getting that on, like, every hill.
Yeah, there's some really big effects on some of these. And others, very little stuff. Yeah, I mean, like I said, organized, just an intelligence agency that you get double speed on, that's not much. Especially compared to some of the other stuff you change. So, this is really not very well balanced.
Yeah.
I think it would be, it would take a lot.
It's more logical, perhaps, but not not balanced.
A for effort, though. I really think the traits need to be re-examined, though, in any further Civ games.
I think they work pretty well right now. Like I said, we've been playing with them for 3 years, and they're pretty well balanced in most respects.
And everyone agrees financial is overpowered. I mean, it's everyone plays financial.
Yeah, that is true. Well, it's powerful. It's definitely the most powerful trait out there. I don't think it's necessarily overpowered. But I agree. I mean, there is no perfect balance, and I think even 2 years from now, if we continue to play with them, you'd always have different people have different ideas of what makes trade work.
And organized, of course, in my opinion, is the crappiest.
Yeah, and I think so too, but I also know other people that seem to think it's really, really powerful. So, yeah, I guess it depends on your playstyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're doing a really expansionist phase, then the courthouses
And you can run all the most expensive civics. That also helps a lot, especially if you're a big empire and you have a lot of maintenance.
My own messing around with traits, I've like doubled the number of traits. I'd make 16 different traits and tried to make them a little narrower in scope. So like the wonder production bonus, I split that off and just made it one whole trait of itself, just the wonder bonus. And then culture, that's another bonus. And industrials has the thing with the hemp.
Well, that's definitely easier to balance.
So they're all very small and narrow effect. And it gives you more combinations, too, which I like, because when people mod out their own new leaders, they can give them a unique combination, and you can be a little more historically accurate with them.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community. Well, now we, in this case, we have one called Technical. I say it's like a truck, very interesting truck. We have King Leonidas from 300, and well, he existed in real life too. We have and an airplane pack from World War One.
Well, the first thing is this truck. This is by Asio. That's how we pronounce him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Asio to the cube.
Or just Asio 3.
It's a pretty cool truck. Very post-apocalyptic. I imagine it in Mad Max mod, for example. Fallout.
He's a great artist. Yeah, I think there should be like more dents and dirt on the truck, though.
Did you know I was actually the one to request that unit from him a while back, almost a year ago, and he's been so busy with his other mod, he finally got it to me.
Oh.
It's going to be for the Second Revolution 3.0, which eventually will come out. Someday.
Someday. Huh. So this actually has a gunfire effect, it looks like, in the screenshot?
Uh-huh. I think he might have used the Willis pickup truck animation made by Snafu Smith to get it to work right. But the one of the cool things about it is the pickup truck has actually a transparent windshield on the front,
ooh,
so you can actually see the driver.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been tricky.
Yeah, he told me that was pretty tricky when we chatted about this unit.
The giant fist on the hood.
I believe that a fist is a decal and is team colored, so it can be removed or changed and can be, yeah, a lot of little added.
Yeah, and the screen is black or purple.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, both colors.
I see, yeah, there's a screenshot in black and a screenshot in purple.
Yeah, that one, I can't wait to pop it into my mod and get that mod out there. It's such an awesome, awesome unit.
Nice. So what the stats going to be?
Oh, well, I can't. They're gonna be just say commando and some other things.
We go to Leonidas now?
Leonidas.
Well, this unit's pretty awesome. It looks like the Heracles almost with the helmet over his face, and he's got a red cape with the brooch. He's not bare chested though.
The thing I don't get is why didn't they just mod the Heracles leader head? Why did they feel it necessary to use, I think this is based on Alexander the Great. It looks like Augustus. I recognize his shirt that's there.
Okay, yeah, maybe it is Alexander, yeah.
But
yeah.
To be frankly honest, the helmet looks like kind of like a carved potato.
Yeah, the texture work, it's very simple. It's just a texture without details. There should have been more, like, I don't know, nails near the borders, or some borders, some decoration of some type. It's just a basic texture applied all over it.
The helmet's also a little bit too big. I mean, you want to be able to see the person who's actually wearing it. Mm. This is very sort of impersonal, this way.
Dare you mock my potato helmet?
Yeah, exactly. The whole point is to simulate that you turn to a human being and not a computer, and this is not helping.
Well, again, that's why Pericles takes off the helmet when he meets you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The eye holes seem a little bit small for the size of the helmet, too. There's not enough of his face showing.
Yeah, but the texture, it's like stone more like than metal, like someone said.
Mm, true, true. I was going to say the texture is like potato.
The potato helmet will block any blow.
Oh, wow. That's an understatement.
We're having so much fun at this guy's expense. He really did do a good job. It's Seaborn here, actually.
Yeah, he is actually a pretty good artist.
Yeah. But it feels like a lazy texture work.
Look at the caption, tonight we dine on French fries. Tonight we dine on the hollowed out gourd of my...
Actually, in the side you can see the M of McDonald's.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, good thing he'll never hear this.
Yeah.
Until we're too famous to be touched.
Okay, well, now for something that I can unambiguously take delight in. This is World War I airplane packed by Snafu Smith. I must say, this man, much like everything he makes, models, is a machine.
Oh yeah, he's very thorough.
Yeah. Really cool. Really cool.
We've got Italian airplanes, we got German airplanes. We got them all here.
Yeah, there's enough material here to make an entire World War I scenario out of.
Yeah.
And he's got more coming.
Oh, yeah.
He's even got here the SPAD, which was a French biplane, a very famous one, I believe, with the early Fokkers, and some planes I've never even heard of or seen before, which he masterfully renders.
Yeah, these World War One bombers.
Yeah, they got that.
You really think of bombers associated with World War One. You think of fighters, but they were very early days bombers. They're really looking at big fight planes, but they're full of research to even know about these things. I never even know about bombers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they just, you know, like, threw a bomb and dropped it over the side.
chuck a hand grenade on the ground.
Yeah, and maybe in the early days that's what they did, but things evolved pretty quickly after that.
War will do that. These look awesome. Anyone who is an airplane enthusiast really has got to go to the website, Symphonatics, and check these out.
Yeah.
Definitely. Especially if you're making a World War One mod, because I don't think there's a decent one out yet, is there?
John Schaefer made one. I've not played it much, so I can't say if it's a good one.
Why don't you mention it? No, I don't have any good.
Yeah, you posted it ages ago.
Yeah.
Is it a public release?
No, yeah, it's really based on the regular Civ 4 stuff.
Oh, then it wouldn't have all these units. That's the sad part.
Yeah, no, it's more and more basic.
It's one of the scenarios that was supposed to ship with the original Civ 4, but never made it. So they released it, I think, in December 05. Quite a while ago already.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I played it. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that's good. So send him an email. So update your mod with all this cool stuff.
Yeah. Like he's gonna have fun.
Yeah, true that.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods.
So the Inquisition, that one sounds really interesting.
Okay, yeah, the Inquisition mod. This is actually a lifting of the code that came in the Inquisitor of the Gods of Old scenario. And some of you may remember the Inquisition mod by Lopez. I believe that's for Warlords it was based. I'm not sure if anyone's updated it yet.
He hasn't been back since Warlords.
Yeah, I think he had a baby or, you know, some other tragedy.
Nice.
He might have also gotten a job, too, because, you know, the reason he was doing all that modding is he was out of job. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, man.
So, Lopez, if you're out there, come back to us!
He was pretty prolific. Did this guy use some of the code from Lopez?
No.
I don't believe so. He says he's pulled it directly from the Gods of Old scenario. Also added a religious victory option. We have to get 70% influence. Again, that's been done. And he used the Chugginator Inquisitor guy, which I requested, if you remember. Mm. This is the, I told Chug, you know, make us an Inquisitor with a guy holding a torch and a book. So he's like, burn you. And we have like a black robe.
Well, you know, I know he said it for 70% influence, but I personally implemented religious victory, and it should be a lot lower than that, because I had every single city on the map converted to my religion, and it still wasn't even 70% at the time I had finished converting everybody. It actually, the influence is by population, I believe.
Oh, so if a city has, like, 3 religions in it, only a third of the population counts as being for the influence of that particular religion, of each of the religions?
I think it actually has to do with how long it's been in there, but correct me if I'm wrong, you're the code guy, but I was in Second Revolution 2.0, I had spread the ideology, which is the same as a religion, and I had it set at 75 or something, or 70 or so, thinking that, you know, covers 75% of the cities you win, and I had every city covered, and it was much lower, so...
Mm. I'd have to look at the code, but you're probably right, it's probably based on some combination of population, so it's not just 100%.
Not many people know that the mechanic even exists, let alone have we broke it down and studied the religious victory mechanic.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. But if you set it pretty low, and you're the first person to get the religion, and say no one else has got any at all, and you spread to, say, 50%, man, you've won already.
Yeah, true.
So,
well, the way I did it is everyone starts off with a holy city. Each side has their own religion, and if they want to do a non-war victory, they can spread their religion, a.k.a. ideology, and whoever spreads it the fastest, basically. So it gives everyone an even start. I think that would be almost necessary for it to be balanced. Otherwise, you'd have Buddhist victories every freaking day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Buddhism has won.
Yet again.
Okay. Well, here, I'm going to have a look at the code. Ah, darn. It's in a WAO file. I can't.
You don't have WinRAR? So this Inquisition, you actually, there are, these Inquisitors are like an anti-missionary?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, they're an anti-missionary.
Oh, awesome. Does that make massive unhappiness in the city, I imagine, or would that make it too powerful? I don't know.
I think they caused some diplomatic hit with you and your, the person who are inquisifying, inquisinating, that you're burning, and the people you burn don't like you anymore. It's like, what are you... And yet you've saved their souls.
Yeah, they should be happy that they're going to go to heaven now, or wherever.
Right now.
In the cartography room, we talk about maps and simple scenarios.
We've got Final Fantasy III maps. Also known as Final Fantasy VI in America for PlayStation 1. Anyone here old school played Final Fantasy III on the old Super Nintendo?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mitch.
I find this number disparity annoying. Why don't we just average it out and make it Final Fantasy 4.5 or something, you know?
if anyone might need their memory jogged, the game started off with one map of the world of balance, and everything looks pretty standard continents, and it's all smooth. And then, since this particular download that I'm mentioning is two maps, because halfway through the game, the evil sorcerer goes crazy and destroys everything, and it goes to the world of ruin, which is a broken up, ripped apart maps, very fragmented, and it's a everything has been really badly hit. And so he actually released the both map, which was very, very sharp.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the first map, the not torn up map, and first thing I can tell is there's way too much peaks on this map.
He's like, yeah.
At
wow.
At least a third of the landmass has there's been solid, giant, solid masses of 10x10 grids of peaks. I mean, like.
Well, you know, that goes back to the days of Super Nintendo when they used those peaks to keep you in the right area for the storyline, basically as a gateway to keep you from having to go from level 1 land to level 20 land, you know?
Oh, so until they magically teleport you, you got out of this area, now you can go to this area.
In one instance, you get in a castle that burrows under the ground to come up in another desert far across the mountains.
Yeah. The one in the northern continent.
Very cool. That game, one of my all-time favorite games is Final Fantasy III. I don't foresee a mod coming out, but it might just be fun to play the map for the heck of it. You never know.
Hey, it's good for choke points, and it has some strategic interesting.
There's very little actually usable land, so yeah, it could be interesting from a choke point and land grab point of view. But not sure if it's a very replayable map. Doesn't seem like the greatest map to play on.
Now, looking at the second map, the one of Torn Up Desolation, that map looks pretty much unplayable.
Yeah.
Under a desert, and it really does look like a wasteland.
That's pretty torn up, all right. Is there any tile on there that actually produces, like, hammers?
Not really.
No.
He was being really true to the Final Fantasy... He must have been sitting there for hours with the game loaded or something. Who knows?
That's going to make for an interesting game.
Yeah, they are pretty cool reproduction, but I don't know if their gameplay value is very high.
Yeah, exactly. It's really neat, and I'm sure it's very accurate. It must be. But, wow, I don't think I'd like to play on these, to be honest. Or maybe the first one, maybe one game could be kind of interesting to see. But
I just thought this would be great for nostalgia, because I think nostalgia gaming is pretty popular right now.
Yeah.
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community.
We highlight one mod and talk about it. Woo!
And character shreds!
That's what I want to do. Yeah, this week we're talking about Afterworld, Beyond the Sword scenario that was sort of like presented as an XCOM remake almost in the Firaxis PR. But I have a feeling we have something to say about that.
Yeah, I played it. I think it was interesting, sort of. Do you remember?
Would you care to elaborate on that?
Well, do you remember at the beginning of the mod when you loaded it, it has a little cutscene, like a comic book style cutscene?
Yes.
And I thought that was really cool. But then the mod started.
Yeah, that's kind of the coolest part about the whole mod. That's not a good sign if your intro movie is the best part.
Well, the intro movie was really cool.
Well, I do have to say, though, in the original XCOM had the greatest opening movie sequence thingy ever.
Oh, XCOM was awesome. All bow before XCOM.
I played XCOM recently, but I can't say I recall what the intro movie was like. But I'll take your word for it.
Just aliens shooting civilians. And then them shooting aliens.
Yeah.
Unload on the aliens. There's a new XCOM revival, UFO extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
If you like XCOM, you definitely got to pick that up.
I hadn't even heard of it. All of the sequels to XCOM so far that have been made sucked, as far as I know.
This one's a true successor. I think it's made by some Czechs, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so this is like just a mod?
No, it's an actual full game, $40 at the store.
I was wondering why I was seeing thoughts about XCOM on gaming forums recently. I just thought they were talking about the old game.
Oh, no, there's a new game out, and the game itself is incomplete, but there's a guy, a modder, actually, who really beefed it up and made it just like the old XCOM, fixed it very well. So you have to buy it and download the mod to play it.
Oh, boy. That reminds me of another game when it was Space Empires 5 got sold, and I really liked number 4, but number 5 was so buggy, it was like basically like they were selling you the beta.
Oh, I know.
And people have been like modding it. I mean, like totally unplayable bugginess. The game would crash, your units would just randomly disappear for no reason, you know, like that kind of bugginess, you know. And people have been trying to mod it, and it's like, okay, we're going to sell you the beta, and then maybe with the money we got from that, we'll fix the game.
Maybe.
If you played XCOM UFO Defense, how does Afterworld compare to it, Loader?
Well, actually, I mean, the original XCOM, for people who have not played it, I guess you could basically split it in two. There were two games in one. One was sort of a strategy game, I guess a little bit like Civ, you build bases all around the world. And the other was sort of a tactical component, where you have a map of, I don't know, a farm or whatever, and you have units and you walk around and you shoot aliens in the field.
Turn-based isometric.
Yeah, exactly. That's This is clearly models one of these battles. Yeah. When XCOM, you switch between the two and you have one battle on the field and you go back to your strategic layer and you build bases and then you go back in the field. This is just one single tactical battle. And I guess so. It lacks a lot of XCOM is very replayable, and this is just the same battle over and over if you were to play this scenario multiple times, and it's always exactly the same. So not really a fair comparison, I think. I'm not even sure why they made the comparison.
Now, I would say, to be fair, the XCOM battles themselves got pretty repetitive because they were made of these chunks of barn here, UFO there. Sometimes the barn would be on the right, the UFO would be on the left, and that was, you know, what you got.
Yeah, that is true. But, you know, it was a 1992 technology or something like that. For what it was pretty decently done.
Yeah.
And there was at least some variation. I mean, this game is exactly the same every time. There is no randomness involved whatsoever.
No, and it feels more simplistic, the combat system.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the depth.
Exactly. In XCOM, you had a lot more weapons to choose from, and you had a tech tree. You could research new weapons and stuff. And this is, like I said, always exactly the same thing. You can play through it once.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a melee attack.
That's what I call a close encounter. And then you smoke your cigar.
Perhaps it plays like, I don't know, for example, these DS games like Advanced Wars or there was another one, I don't remember the name, but these tactical games, like, oh, for example, Final Fantasy Tactics, I don't know if you know any of them.
Yeah, I know the concept. I haven't played too many, but yeah, it's sort of the same concept. Yeah.
I try to avoid Final Fantasy.
I do too.
Yeah. It's like, if it's final, why do they keep making them?
Make more final money.
That's the Final Fantasy. Well,
yeah. Well, we've been dogging on this mod quite a bit, but it's got to have some strong points. I know we mentioned the cutscene that starts the game was pretty freaking cool, but I'd have to say the graphics of the units are very creative and unique. That would be my point of the strong points. What do you guys think?
Well, one of the strongest points is the what he did to the Civ 4 engine. It's a turn-based strategy game, and he turned it into a squad-based game. That's pretty cool for a starter.
Yeah,
yeah, you do have to say it was the most ambitious.
Yeah, I think as a proof of concept, which is really how this is intended, I think it's a great success. It really shows that you can do some awesome things with Civ 4 modding. But yeah, that is really the main strong point it has.
Oh, they even added a line of sight system, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have had to be pretty sophisticated. It has to intercept every object in the field and whatnot, angles and stuff like that. And hypotenuses. I hate hypotenuses.
Don't speak Greek.
No, I'm speaking geek.
Geek, Greek, same difference.
If you guys know the secret of playing the original XCOM, fusion ball launchers. You manufacture them and sell them continuously. I just whole bases doing nothing but manufacturing them for money.
See, I just like to use them on the aliens. Let's see. So, it's as a proof of concept, graphics, and just general ideas were pretty strong. But what makes this mod a lemon?
Well, before one more strong point, perhaps I did also like the atmosphere. It's sort of a scary, dark. It's not like a regular Civ scenario, which is pretty neutral. It's not really scary. This is probably not the scariest game in the world. It's not the scariest Doom 3, for example. But it does a pretty decent job of creating this eerie atmosphere where you don't know what's going on. You can hardly see anything around you. I do think that was a success.
The spooky broken walls. I remember it being very post-apocalypse looking terrain.
Yeah, one thing I didn't like, it's I just can't get a hold of the scale of things. I don't know if they are big buildings and with your units are big. Some things, I don't know what they are exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either.
I don't know if they're like a mech or a robot or I don't know if they're the size of a human being or 10 meters tall. I don't know. It's hard to define. It's small scale or a big scale.
That is.
What were those things anyways?
Don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. It's a completely alien world. There's nothing recognizable in it. Just monsters, these weird tank thingies or whatever they're supposed to be that you're in. And, you know, walls and stuff. But you have to need nothing that you can really identify with
and
as a human
another thing
being.
Is that it felt a little repetitive. Everything felt the same. There was nothing cool or unique for us, I can remember.
Yeah. I mean, one of the strengths of the original XCOMs was the aliens were very, very strong, and it took a lot to take them out. And here you're just kind of like Diablo. You're just
slaying
through a horde after horde after horde of the same lame-ass, easy to kill.
Well, actually, some of the aliens were pretty tough in the original XCOM. I know things like Snake Man and Floaters would always go down with one shot from a laser rifle.
Yeah, exactly.
But some of the things like the mutants, the ethereal guys with big orange robes, they were pretty nasty.
Exactly, that's what I mean. That's what XCOM had that, but this mod doesn't have that at all. And they're all really weak. And, I mean, even if they hit you 3-4 times, you don't go down. But usually one or two shots with your weapon will take your aliens out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I bet they did that because they didn't have provisions for bringing back a dead character.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, what could be done in maybe a patch or a second version of this mod to make it more agreeable and enjoyable to the player base?
I think more unique locations would be one thing that, with some tactical placement of things, that you have choke points and, I don't know, it just went, oh, well, let's explore everything, but there was nothing interesting in exploring the map.
Well, certainly, if there's this one map, it sounds like the key issue that people don't like, if there was some way to actually regenerate the map and change it. Because I know people, you can change what some of the tiles are during the map in the course of the game. People have made terraforming mods. So if they could actually run a script that would actually just completely wipe away the old map and recreate a new one for you while you're in the tactical level, while you're off in the strategic level. So then when you come back and you have a new, it's like a new mission, new place, everything is new for you. That would seem to be the biggest number one thing. But of course that's very complicated.
You clearly haven't played this mod because there's no strategic layer. There's just the tactical layer.
Yeah.
Just one fixed map with it's a number of hallways with rooms to the side. It's sort of like a Diablo map more than anything.
Yeah. Mm.
And yeah, it's just one fixed map. And yeah, it would be nice if the map was randomly generated so that you play in something else every time you restart the scenario.
Mm. Or more handcrafted and interesting.
I make a map script.
I think that's the most important part. Even if you move around the way that the hallways are located, I mean, it's still the same hallways, it's still the same enemies.
Yeah.
It gets really boring really fast. You need more diversity. I absolutely agree with Oscar there.
Oh, okay. Because I have played Diablo, and it does get pretty repetitive, even though the map is being randomly generated.
Yeah, it's the same. Turn left or turn right. But it's the same tree or the same house or... Everything's the same.
Yeah, and at least in Diablo, you have got dozens, if not hundreds, of different types of opponents. So you're just the same guys all over and over and over.
Well, Diablo also randomly generated the maps you play on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're saying that they made them out of the same kind of building block-ish, Lego-ish components that they got pretty tired pretty fast.
I think they should have taken the time to make a map script for their mod. That would have... I think replayability is just the key to a game now these days.
That would have helped a great deal.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and that and more diversity, like Oscar says, just more different types of map, not just the same hallways over and over.
Yeah.
And also more opponents. There are now basically two opponents. It's the small guys and the big guys. and the big guys are pretty rare. So, yeah. More diversity. I think that's the key thing.
Yeah.
Well, what about the artwork? What about those wild units they put in there?
Well, they are strange. I can't relate to them. Don't know. They are not bad, but they don't move anything. I mean, I don't see them as cool, or they're just weird.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, weird can be good.
It could be. I think that's what they were trying to go for, but I mean, your tank, I think they called it a tank, was like a floating ghost with tentacles, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It's a flying spaghetti monster tank.
Pretty much.
In itself, it looks pretty cool, but yeah, I'm not sure that it really works in this context. I mean, what is that supposed to be? Is there a human being in there? How does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these tanks, they look like a creature floating off the ground, and when they attacked, they swung their like squid arms at the enemy and like slapped them.
Squid slapping.
Yeah. You really, tonight you're gonna have to go load that mod up and see for yourself, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you really only need to play this for 10 minutes to get a decent idea of what it's about.
Yeah. Okay. I think I might have played it less, but who knows.
No, I did play it to the end, and that was actually kind of a big disappointment.
Did it have a cutscene at the end?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
I think there was something at the end, but I don't remember exactly.
Mm. That sucks. Thank you. my heart is wounded from your teases. I think I'm going to cry. I'm crying right now.
Wait a minute, I've been teasing you the whole thing. You haven't noticed?
Cry if you need. Cry if you need.
Yes.
That's me laughing and crying at the same time.
Go away, I shall tease you a second time.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
A lot of stuff said today. A lot of topics we've covered.
Yes.
Yes, it's also starting to sound even like something like a semi-unprofessional podcast. Like, just like original.
Yeah.
We're getting there, slowly but surely.
Semi?
Another pilot. I think we have, what, one more pilot? And then, January.
Yeah, at least one more, yeah.
But, yeah, hopefully, we'll go public. We'll have crowds of fans and girls flashing themselves to us on the stage.
Yep.
Ozzy Osbourne will be there.
Yeah.
I think you're confusing us with a rock band. No, we will have certainly many posts of adulation and teeming threads of fans.
Start teaming now, or I will crush you.
Let's say farewells.
Today we've been joined by Oscar Elohim Belzy.
Goodbye, everybody.
Kenneth Impaler WRG Ferlin.
For the Hive.
Wouter Lacutus Snyders.
Bye bye.
And me, Tony Garrettson Zaka Keel. And bye bye.
Yeah.
Call us if you have any feedback. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, it's a UK number, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
Record date,
December 2nd, 2007.
Sound clips copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords of Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2007 Apolitan Civilization site at apolitan.net.